Public Library Board of Trustees meeting, Monday, February 9th. Can I have roll call, please?
Yes. Garcia.
Here.
Mix.
Yes.
Bird.
Here.
Schumacher.
Here.
Hedman.
Here.
Pesola is absent. Milchewski.
Here.
Gatz.
Here.
Okay. And Forrestal.
Here.
Thank you.
And recognition of our visitors, we have our staff members, the Director of Children's Services and Director of
Technical Services,
and Rob from the city. Thank you. Amendments to the agenda, yes. We're going to put Rob for him to speak to us after the report, or right before the report of the treasurer.
Yes.
Okay. And presentations. If we can look over the minutes from last month for approval. I make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented, the Finance Committee meeting for January 12th and the Monday Board of Trustees meeting, January 12th.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes. Mix?
Yes.
Bird?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Milchewski?
Yes.
Gatz?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes. Do we have any correspondence?
No correspondence.
No public comments, so we'll go straight to our friends of the library report.
So we have over $33,000, but $22,000 of that $313 is unencumbered. It's not committed to any expenses this year. So we have a very good basis for going into next year. We've aligned our fiscal year with the libraries, so that will begin May 1st. So even, and we're looking for a little more income from the next used book sales. So I think we're in pretty good financial shape. 26 donors have contributed $4,313 worth of services and merchandise toward 19 baskets for our spring basket raffle. The baskets are on display now. We set them up. Ticket sales start tomorrow, and we will pull the winners at the used book sale on March 7th. We've been getting plenty of donations of used books. We were a little worried about having two a year might mean that we might not have enough books, but we have plenty of books. 52 guests attended the murder mystery event on Sunday afternoon, January 25th. It seemed like everybody had a fun time. We had wonderful refreshments that were provided by Midland States Bank. We're very grateful to them. So our profit for the event was $467.47. Probably the most significant thing that we did this morning, we discussed at the request of our board of directors ways to possibly revise the bylaws regarding our terms of office. This year, all four officers were new to the organization. Currently, our terms of office are 1 year, and this caused a steep learning curve at the beginning of the term, as none of the officers had much experience with running this organization at all. So our consensus seems to be that rewording Article 5, Section 1 of our bylaws to define our term of office as 2 years, with staggering elections, so that, for example, the president and the secretary would be elected in even-numbered years, for example, and the vice president and treasurer would be elected in odd-numbered years. That would help ensure that this situation never happens again, where you have four new people all on as officers at the same time. During this changeover, we discussed some officers might end up serving for 3 years as we adjust the election schedules, but we're going to work that out. So we're going to work that out among ourselves and get the wording together. So our proposed amendment will be presented at the March meeting with a vote taken at the April meeting, which will also be the date of our annual meeting. We're shifting our annual meeting from May back to April. Because of that change in fiscal year, we want to have a budget approved by the end of April so we can start on May 1st. So that's probably the most complicated thing that happened this morning. We also agreed that it's time for another dining out fundraiser and that Masiano's is the best choice. So our Vice President Jay Gibbons will be contacting them to work out a date for that.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Staff comment. We have our strategic plan of department update from our youth and tech services. Who would like to go first?
I will.
Okay, our youth services.
I'm Paige Netweiss. I'm the youth service director here at the library. And I just wanted to come in and give you an update as to where we're at with the strategic plan. So one of the many tasks that we had was to increase staff communication in the department. So not only have we increased in the department, but we've also increased throughout the staff. So there's a monthly email that is sent out to all staff members about upcoming programs for the youth department. This has a brief description, date and time, whether registration is necessary, and that is just to keep everybody on the same page in case any staff member is asked about any of the programming in our department. All large activities like winter read, summer read, any large programming, email is sent out to the entire staff, so everybody is on the same page with that also. As a youth service department, my staff receives an email update as to any changes with activities or any current activities that we have coming up and where further information can be found. One of the other tasks said to focus building relationships that benefit the community and the library. I have been working with Y115 tours. We have several tours that come through our library. I work consistently with the dual language program through the district. High school English department comes over. They do their senior presentations here at our library. And I help with different author events throughout the district. Future Foxes Preschool, I go over, I'm a mystery reader there, and then they come over here for a tour. 4-H, we've been dealing with science programs for several years now. Kendall County Forest Preserve, we do a creek stomp and a winter walk. United Way, we are working with United Way for the Dolly Imagination Library program. And Jumpstart is coming here on a quarterly basis to do screenings for our 0 to 5-year-olds. Pharmacy Farm Stand, I do story time out there. They have donated to our seed library, so that is an ongoing program. We have several preschool and daycares that contact us for tours. YDF and Y115 and YPL are in a collaboration for the story walk, and that changes quite frequently. BBGS, we have STEAM Night, but this is our third year of the library being represented at their STEAM Night. Cross Lutheran, 8th grade, comes over and does research here for their papers. Parkview Christian comes and does tours. Grace Holistic does research with their classes here and tours. Pathway Transition Program of Oswego is coming over consistently on a monthly basis to do our escape room. And we work closely with Parks and Rec for stories in the park. Another task, engage in program service evaluations, solicit and use data to build library services based on our community needs. There is a program evaluation that is used, but primarily I take time to talk to our parents and our patrons to find out what their needs are and what they would like to see happen. This has resulted in creating a sensory support kit. We have two of those in the process right now. It's a little kit that has a weighted lap blanket, noise-canceling headphones, fidgets, that kind of thing in it, that is use is able to be used inside the library. Also, we've created a home resource area, so our homeschool families can come in to the library. It's donated curriculum from other homeschool families, and they can use that, return it, use it, whatever they need to. Our homeschool families have done a very nice job of keeping that full for us. And then the other one that we started was a read and return. We not only have a read and return program here at the Yorkville Public Library, which basically means that we get donated books, we put a green sticker on them, and it says read and return. This is for those people who can't get a library card. We just want to make sure that there's access to books for everyone in our community. So this has expanded to Kendall County Food Pantry, the Yorkville Laundromat. We have a read and return at the Kendall County Courthouse and at Mutual Ground. Another task, develop targeted programs for specific groups. We have family programs, and we're focusing a lot on that. Through our escape room, our makerspace, trivia, bingo, Fortnite, literacy centers, Polar Express, Stories in the Park. Large programs. We did a boat race last year that I'm excited to have back this summer. Dinosaur Tea Party, the Story Walk, and the other big one that we're targeting of teens. Teens are hard. But we have been able to get a following for our cookie decorating class, card making, Yorkville High School English class comes over and does our senior presentations here, and it's amazing to see those high schoolers come in and just look around and be like, well, you haven't been here. But you're here now, so that's really, really important. The other one, we are working with the YHS Spanish Honor Society members. They're coming over first Thursday of every month, and they read stories to our dual language kids. So we're trying to get more of that type of programming, so we have those high school students coming over and reading in Spanish to our younger kids. We also have created some passive programs for them, so there's a puzzle out there, coloring pages, just so they can decompress after school, because we do get a lot of teens in here after school. The other thing, Vex Robotics, they did a presentation here last year, and I am working with them right now to get those kids back over here. So those are some of the things that we're trying to do and focus on for our families, and hopefully we're meeting the needs of our community.
Any questions from me? I know you said that you get the parents and the patrons feedback, but you said that you guys didn't do a survey.
We do a program evaluation.
But what about the people in the community that don't come to the library? Don't we want to assess them as well?
We've reached out to them too.
Okay. Have we did a survey through them, or I'm just curious.
Shelly, was that a survey that went out through the entire community? Or was that
for them? No, for the youth department. I'm talking about specifically the youth department.
We did that survey for, oh my gosh.
The strategic plan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right, but now that we're in the initial stage of trying to reach those things, how are we going to measure that we actually...
Well, that's what if they don't come to the library, we would have to do it through our social media.
Okay.
Have
our numbers gone up for the youth department? I see the younger ones with the teens. When I was looking at the teens, it's the teens that... I was looking at the...
That's a universal. That's not specific to our library.
Can I finish, please?
Sure.
Because I did do an analysis of all the libraries. I didn't just look at ours.
Okay.
And I do see that... I see the similarity, and I see that we do some of the same programs. So you're not alone with when you said the teens don't come in. I looked at Oswego. I looked at Montgomery. I looked at Plano. And so they have the same programs.
Yeah.
The same exact programs. So... It goes back to when we used to think that we weren't doing anything for the teens. This is years ago. We are. It's just they're not coming.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job, Jeanette.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to leave out some of the things that I do in the technical services department. for the three main goals of the strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
First one, maximizing community engagement and services. One of the things I do is to compile circulation and program statistics, which can kind of determine the current popularity of different materials and services. It's in this packet, actually. So, like, for example, ebooks and e-audio checkouts, mm-hmm. It's interesting to see those numbers keep going up pretty consistently for checkouts. On that note, curating and expanding our digital content, I'm trying to get more involved in the purchasing process for that. So, for our Overdrive account purchasing, they ask for volunteers from the different library consortium members to purchase on behalf of the consortium. So that will give me access to purchase on behalf of the consortium, and I'll be able to see holds and requests that people have put in for our library and other libraries. And kind of on that note, potentially for the future, they have ways where you can put your own money into these accounts, and you can buy e-books and e-audiobooks specifically for your own patrons, which can, you know, help fill holds and, you know, get the titles that people want out there for them. Also, a digital thing that I do, new, I've got permissions now to create, they call them showcases on our digital catalogs. They're basically digital displays of books that I can curate. So I can do, for example, new fiction at the library, or I can do specific titles, like for a program, books related to a program that's coming up, and I can display those on the homepage of our catalog. So that's something I'm going to work on now. And also over our website, kind of a group effort with me and everybody else is just working on that, meeting accessibility needs for our mm-hmm. website, getting that up to the legal standard
yes.
by our cutoff date there. So that's just, again, to widen the scope of our website out to everybody. For the second goal, optimizing the usage of the library space, a lot of that in my department has to do with weeding. So weeding the material is really essential to help create a curated collection and to keep, like, physical shelf space available for new stuff that comes in, and also so that it looks pretty and not, like, super crowded.
Yeah.
So we weed based on checkout statistics, popularity, condition, age, quality, and literary value, amongst other things, like whether it was donated and stuff like that. And kind of on that note, me and Jeanette are working a little bit now on potentially, like, reorganizing the young adult section a little bit to make it more enjoyable for the teens, but also to just create some more space because we're running out of books for them. And the YA genre is really picking up now, and there's a lot of new good books coming out. So, also with that, the practicum student that has started
yes.
with us is working with me this month. And I started with her. We're going through YA right now and doing kind of an inventory to make sure that, you know, what our digital catalog says we actually have. We have all the right information, and then we're looking at gaps that we can fill in. And finally, prioritizing our future growth. I have staff member working with me now in my department, and she does a lot of the physical processing for me, which takes quite a lot of time. It gives me more time to focus on, like, cataloging, weeding, and acquisitions, which just is nice for the library in general. It helps us curate better. General, I would say. And then also, I've been attending professional development and continuing education webinars and classes for cataloging skills, because there's so much to learn on that, and that can help me eventually, like, be able to do more with the catalog and make it really perfect and nice for everybody on that digital front. And the last point I have is to develop documentation on the workflow procedures. Just it was something Shelley had suggested, and it's just for the future of the library, just to ensure that we have, you know, for documentation on what I do if there's ever issues or
yes.
long absences or just stuff that comes up. So it's just good to have for everyone in the future.
Very good.
Yeah.
Any questions, concerns? Thank you guys for your presentation.
Thank you guys.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
keep up the good work.
Thank you. Keep up the
good work. Okay, we will move on to the report of our treasurer. I mean, Rob. Sorry.
Thank you.
Mr. Rob.
Well, we've got the budget document, the draft budget document coming in here. Just kind of commenting on the library operations fund as a whole. You're in really pretty solid financial footing moving forward. Fund balance is maintained at north of $1.2 million, all the way projected through 2031, so that's certainly good to see. Digging into the detail, we'll start with your main source of revenue, which is property taxes. Next year should be about $1.129 billion after the county applies veto. And then that's about a 6% increase over the prior year amount of $1.469 million. And a heavy increase in by 4.5% for 28, 4% for 29, 3.5% for 30, and then 3% for 2031. So hopefully it'll be better than that, but we'll just keep that conservative, you know, moving forward. PBRT, the personal property tax, replacement tax, about $8,900 based on IML estimates for next year. And then just pretty conservative growth, estimated 2% year over year for that through 2031. State grants, that's your per capita grant, it's about $32,000. You might see a little bit of uptick in that as the years progress once the city completes its special census. So if you get a couple more $1,000 on the per capita, we'll wait and see. We're anxious to get it done, but there's been a bit of a delay of the federal government, which hopefully is resolving itself soon, so hopefully by spring we can get going on that. And then you have some of your smaller revenues, your library fines, about $1,600, your subscriptions, your copy fees. Investment earnings did well this year, about $40,000 in interest income, projecting $30,000 next year, and then around 20 to 25. Moving forward, just to be conservative, because we don't know what future interest rates will be. Rental income, pretty small, and then you know, miscellaneous income of about $4,000. And then you have your transfer from the general fund, which reimburses the library for its unemployment and liability insurance allocation. So that's a wash to the library fund. So on the other side of the ledger, we have expenditures. Again, we have five full-time people. I included a raise of, I'm sorry, six full-time people. Thank you, Joe. We had five, but it's new outreach for it. So yeah, there's a raise factor in there of 5.5%, which matches the tentative raise increase for the city employees, the non-union, and the union folks as well. And then also a raise for part-time people, and I believe you want to add union part-time people as well. So that's included in that $228,000. Then going through, you have the retirement, the IMRF, FICA, health insurance, liability insurance is increasing by, you know, pretty substantial as we're seeing citywide, but again, that'll be reimbursed by federal funds, so there's no net cost to the library. Other than that, most of the line items have pretty much maintained what they've done for the year prior. There is an uptick in professional services. I know you were planning on perhaps looking for a different IT service provider, so there's $40,000 budgeted for that. And there's also $15,000 budgeted for a space need assessment, which I believe you're discussing tonight or we'll be discussing soon, so that's on the docket for next year as well. The other line item of note is outside repair and maintenance, $85,000 budgeted. It includes items, a big one is $40,000 that's allocated for HVAC repairs if needed. And then just another $10,000 for miscellaneous building repairs, windows, automatic doors, what have you. And then books, you have $50,000 budgeted for books all the way through 2031. Debt service, as you may recall, dropped off last year. No longer a concern for the library. The bonds built in the library are paid in full, which is good. And yeah, you have a nominal surplus for next year of about 30,000. I'm sorry, nominal deficit next year of 30,000, but you're still above that 1.28 million mark. And then As you can see, as projected now, going forward through 2031, as I previously mentioned, you're essentially breaking. So a very healthy fund balance for the operation fund of the library. Moving to the next fund, the library capital fund. This fund is expected to have a surplus of about $36,000 for FY26, as building permit fees for the library have come in almost double what we initially expected, or more than double what we initially expected. And then you have some pretty nominal surplus, or deficit next year at $13,000, and then some sizable surpluses moving forward. And Shelley and I are going to meet over the next month or so to kind of true up what those future capital costs are going to look like for 28, 29, 30, and 31. Reasonable placeholders in their current rate. So, again, the primary revenue source for this fund, you'll see on the next page, is development fees. We always assume 100 new housing starts. Historically, we've done better than that. You've seen FY24, $169,000. Last year, we did 110. This year, we're on pace to do 130. Hopefully, that trend will continue as people continue to build houses here in Norfolk. I have some nominal investment earnings. And then you have, computer equipment and software. Next year we have 10 new computers, a couple of switches, a couple of printers, some security updates planned for a total of $30,000. And then the building improvements, we have budgeted $35,000 for meeting room HVAC replacement and updates. And then you have some pretty sizable dollar amounts moving forward under the building improvements from 28 through 31. And as I mentioned, Shelley and I will meet over the next month or so to kind of true that up and kind of get those projects aligned with whatever your UCIT is. So, fund balance will go down in this fund depending on the amount of improvements that you do. It ends at a negative $260,000 by the end of 2031. But the good news is that if you flip the page and look at the library as a whole, that's page 6, and this includes the library, both Fund 82, which is your operations, and Fund 84, which is your capital. You still have a pretty healthy fund balance all the way through 2031, which is a fair amount of time from now. Really about $1 million. You did below $1 million in 2031, but even then you're at 62% of expenditures, which is a pretty healthy fund balance percentage. But certainly in the near term, I don't have any concerns for the library from a budgetary standpoint. And even if that came to fruition and you were 960 in FY31, you would still have a pretty sizable fund balance percentage. So, like I said, I think the library is on pretty solid financial footing, which is great to see.
That's good to hear. Very good to hear.
Questions?
No. Any questions from any other board? I think it was straightforward in how he presented it. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Always thank you, Rob.
All right. Till
next time.
See you next year.
All right.
Now we will move on to a report of the treasurer. He's looking this way.
Nothing very shattering. Kind of normal expenses. So I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the bill list as presented, with total bills paid in the amount of $38,055.73. Payroll in the total of $68,896.32 for total disbursements of $106,952.05.
Second.
Ready?
Roll call.
Bird. Bird.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Yes.
Thank you. Schumacher.
Yes.
Hedman.
Yes.
Milchewski.
Yes.
Excuse me. Gatz.
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Mix?
Yes.
What are we doing?
My report starts on page 26 of your packet. Just a few notes about library operations. We had three calls from our burglar and fire alarm last month, early in the morning.
Yeah, on Saturday.
We had two motion sensors that were faulty.
Oh.
And so those have since been replaced, and one heating sensor that has also been replaced. So
I had that problem again.
Back in service. I reached out to a local plumbing company about possibly adding a water bottle filling station to our existing water fountains. Mm. So I'm waiting on a proposal back from them. But I also found out that our HVAC company has a licensed plumber on staff too. That so I asked them to quote as well.
That's good. Smart.
Nice. Good.
Let's see.
I have a question on those.
Sure.
Are you going to do a filtered or not?
That's
filtered?
Yes. I want it filtered.
Yes,
because we've had staff request that we get something filtered.
Yeah.
But I want to place it out in the public area.
Right.
We're looking at the water fountains right outside the public restrooms, first floor and second floor.
Okay.
We had Ted, our maintenance person, point out a small leak in the water line where our new water meter was installed. And I guess it's associated with the pressure valve that's there that goes down into a drain. So we have a maintenance person coming to take a look at that.
That was after you got the new one, huh?
That came after the new meter was installed, so I don't know if that's, if it just kind of broke a seal or something. It's not a major leak, it's a drip.
Drip, but that can add up over time.
Let's see here. So as Madison had said, we have our LTA student from the College of DuPage started her practicum here. She comes to us from Oswego Library. She works in the adult and the circulation department there right now. So she will be shadowing all five departments to learn various aspects of library work in that. And she'll be here through May. Megan is going to be attending a social media update webinar to learn the trends for 2026. Updates on the various platforms, best practices, effective content strategies, and guidance for optimizing our presence on social media. All of the managers have now received their individual development plans. It includes their professional goals, support they need, timeline reviews, and success measures. So we'll be following up with that as needed on a regular basis. I attended the Kendall County's Community Health Summit breakfast, so I've gone to several of their summits. This is in regards to their five-year planning phase. They don't call it a strategic plan, but it's similar to what they're going to focus on for their public efforts in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so this last summit we were at, they broke us out into groups, gave us five priority areas that they're looking at, and asked us all to rate it in the top three. So, and then from that, they took that information back, and they just got back with us that in the next 5 years, they will be focusing on behavioral health and substance abuse, food security, and maternal and child health. We had the WorkNet development people in to install the kiosk for job search. So that's now available for use up in the adult department. So our patrons are going to have access to workforce programs, job search tools, and related services and training resources.
Cool. That's good.
Yeah.
And they can just go in and use it.
They can go into the kiosk, and I believe it gives them a link to where they would have to go on a computer.
To do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because it doesn't, the kiosk does not, will not let them put in personal information.
Okay, that's good to know.
Someone from the food pantry contacted us about donating a Lego table to the library for the children's department. So we have a new Lego table back there. Yeah, that was very nice of them. I think Kathy talked about the murder mystery, which was very cool.
They had
55 paid ticket holders, but there were about 70 of us in attendance because she didn't include the
people that were
the
part
cast,
of yes.
Yeah, the suspects and all of the volunteers.
Okay.
So they're, you know, they did a recap meeting afterwards to talk about one for next year as well and how they might do it. And so, yeah, pretty exciting.
That's good. That's a large amount for the first time.
I had never been to one of those, and it was very interesting. So everyone got a kick out of it. And the students did a wonderful job.
That's good.
Portraying the characters in that.
That's good.
So that's it for my report.
Okay. We didn't have no city council liaison, no standing committee. Unfinished business is our space planning. We tabled that last month to talk about it this month. I hope everybody had a chance to look at it and did some research for it. If you still have it from last month in your packet, or did you need it?
It's in this packet.
Oh, okay. I still have mine from last month.
It's in this packet.
Page 37.
It hasn't changed.
Yeah,
so if you had last month's or this month's.
Okay.
It's on, page
37.
Thank you. So I have a question. I do. Because when I was doing a little bit of research to understand about, you know, what we're doing, I did. And you can tell me, you know a little bit more about the space, a little bit about space. Is there a difference between the space need survey and a space utilization and an analysis? Because when I did my search, it said it was two different things, and that the analysis comes before the needs survey, or the space need.
I'm not going to ask around, I guess, if that's what it says.
But then it said that it was, even though it's two different things, they both are required to get to the actual plan, like for future.
So
where's my paper?
We're saying a survey and then analysis.
So
yes.
The utilization analysis would be like how often is each space
optimized
used?
Now.
Yeah.
And then
like internal data, maybe?
Yeah.
It says how efficiently we're using the space that we currently have. So we're optimizing the existing space now. And then the space needs survey determines how much space we will need in the future.
Couldn't that be combined?
Together? That's my question. Is that combined
together?
Well,
who's the survey go to?
I would think that you're going to be asking the staff on utilization of the spaces. But the consultants are going to look at and they're going to evaluate like our program data, our learning report on what the community wants. So I would hate to see us do one and then have to do another
if we can't combine it.
Well,
we probably can combine and do both together if we find someone that can do both of them, but you still have to start with the first one, which is the analysis.
I guess we're trying to design a process, right? And obviously none of us are experts in that space. Would it make sense maybe to have a couple of the options as far as vendors come in and talk to us about their recommendations for processes?
Yeah, because I'm looking at two different things and I'm like, I'm confused
a
little bit. About
that may not be a bad idea.
And then based on what they say, we can
determine.
Shore up our RFP and then go out.
That's what I say.
How many people are you looking to bring in?
I mean, I'm not necessarily thinking that we use it as an evaluation of, I'm thinking of it more to talk with them as far as how it works and what would they recommend based on, I guess, you know, us not wanting to gut the building and start over, right?
Right.
That's
right.
The challenge is, like, how do we structure the RFP so that those we speak to understand the level of what we're trying to achieve versus...
Because what it says, well, based on what I'm learning, the language that it says that a space utilization tells us how our current space is actually being used, and that's how they evaluate. And then the space study, after they do all of that, they go into the space study, which tells us how much space we'll need based on headcount, work models, future growth, you know, if we want to be able to change the actual building or just changing the spaces. And so I think, and I agree with Jason, finding someone that can really tell us, because this is based off of the research that I did. I'm not saying I'm accurate, but this is what I found. And so if we could have maybe, two to three consultants that can come and talk to us about this work.
I've had
Here's a list.
Two reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Have you checked with the city who they used for when they went into the building?
No. But I have talked with the school district on who they use, and that company has reached out to me.
Okay.
I haven't answered them back yet.
That's one. Is it these ones that's here that you gave us the last time?
Studio GC, yeah.
Well, maybe we might want to have...
I mean, I would make sure that they're somebody who is experienced in working in libraries.
Yes.
I mean,
I had shared with you.
They're used libraries.
They've all used libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And I listed the libraries.
One, two, three, four, five. That's six, seven.
There's
so you can pick three.
Yeah.
I say choose three based off your information with the, I don't know if you want to call the libraries, or you have familiar with some of these, like Aurora, it's close by.
I know
St. Charles.
Specifically two people from
on
the
this
top
one.
Two.
Okay. So then
that
one more.
Work there.
Two and then
Shelley,
one more.
Would you prefer to meet with them alone and talk to them about it? Do you want one of the board members?
We have a committee. Don't we still have the committee? The facilities committee?
We have a facilities committee.
So they can come and talk to the facilities committee. And then the committee can present to the board.
Well, I'm thinking, like, when they met, there are times when, you know, my husband will go to certain places when it's convenient for these companies. It works with the schedule. So maybe if they want to present to the facilities committee, yes. What I was saying is, though, they typically meet with you and speak with you first, and then they meet with us. Is there someone from the facilities committee that could maybe meet at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Would you prefer something like that? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Versus them having to come and talk to the whole facilities committee? Like, somebody could meet and then report back to the facilities committee, and then you guys decide what is best and then bring it to us as a board.
Well,
I
feel like preparing them, too, for what it is we're asking them to present would be beneficial.
Yeah.
As a whole or as a committee?
Because, I mean, not as a whole. You can do it as a committee. I say the committee. Who's on the committee? Where's the committee?
I think I'm on.
Yeah.
You're the chair.
Yeah, you're the chair.
Thank you.
I would think the committee, meet with the committee first.
Oh, no.
Because then it makes it easier that you don't have to go through the entire, you understand? The committee is the one, just like we have a personnel committee, we do the
I
work.
I would prefer multiple ears on the conversation versus me.
Yes. So we have we have, we have Forrestal, Hedman, Jason, Michuski, Gatz, and Bird. You're all on the facilities. And so.
Time to meet then.
She will work that out. She will talk to the consultants, determining the time frame, and then she will communicate with the committee based on their availability, correct?
So you're not kind of alone, and you have.
I don't want
to be alone.
I don't know anything about it.
Right.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Jason.
So, committee.
You got it.
So, committee meeting with the consultants.
Yep. Yes. So, let me check with their availability, and then I will email you each individually.
Yeah.
Because we can't have an email conversation about that.
To determine how it's going to the schedule.
Yeah.
That works for everyone? Because we don't know this and we don't want to make assumptions. Are we good? So we're going to have Shelly go and have a committee meeting. Let's talk to the two or three. You want to do two?
I would say start with two, and then if we need to pull up their
I would say the two that you said.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes it easier because you already did your research on those two and know. So those two.
Context.
Yes. So those two, and then have a talk with your committee. And then from there, the committee will come back to the board.
Okay.
That's how we did for the others.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
Okay. Now on to new business. The fiscal year budget planning discussion approval from our treasurer.
So we did that.
Did we move that up? The approval. We did the discussion.
We did the discussion.
And now, so we'll do the approval.
I guess it's there were no comments or questions on the proposed budget that we had.
Any further questions on the budget?
Concerns?
The only question, I probably should have brought it up, but so with the space utility
utilization,
our space utilization, say we, you know, find some things we'd like to do, how do we fund those?
I thought I heard him say here.
So yeah,
he put it here under the professional services.
Yeah, I think we had the consultant.
The consultant is included.
Under fiscal year 28, the building improvements are up to $200,000.
So, yeah, I saw that. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know what carpet.
Because we're not that far yet.
To replace our carpet would be more than that.
Yeah.
So, it's just something to think about.
It's about five.
So, even if we want to do a refresh, we'd have to spread that over a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Do a
little spruce. Yeah. Start with flooring first and then move on to other areas.
That's a nice way to say, like, I mean, some, you know, sometimes we do projects and it's an office and they're like, they have like $60 a square foot to work with. It's like, well, we can make it pretty good for that. It's just not going to be glass fronts on your offices.
We
already have new fixtures, so I mean, we have a lot of good things in place. Mm-hmm. So it's really just maybe paint, and I think the carpet's fine.
The carpet.
There's some spots that are worn more than others, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
But then Rob said that he'll be discussing with you further about how that capital fund.
The capital fund.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
But that's where I think we might get more information. Is having someone come in and look at our facility and point things out that we can plan for.
Yes.
I mean, it's not going to be in this next fiscal year.
Yeah.
By any means.
Needs versus wants.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, any other comments or questions? Or are we okay with the budget as presented?
So, I guess based on all the items that the Finance Committee talk through, were there any changes after that? Or?
No changes. Yep, those are all reflected in the draft here.
Yeah. So then I make a motion to approve the fiscal 27 budget as presented.
Second. Roll call.
Yes. Schumacher?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Milshewski?
Yes.
Gatz?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Nix?
Yes.
And Bird?
Yes. Okay. And then our next new business is something that came up that Tara brought up last month, a discussion about the referendum. I don't know if you guys had the opportunity to read the last page. Shelly did speak with our attorney.
Thank you, Shelly.
And so the library cannot advocate for or against the referendum. And we can understand why, you know, feel about the referendum and appreciate the commitment to our community. But as a public library, we are legally required to remain neutral. On ballot measures, election and ethnic laws prohibit the library from using public meetings or official positions to advocate for or against a referendum. And what we can do is provide factual information, which is what we did last month at our board meeting. And as for issuing a statement, that would cross into advocacy, and that is something that we are not permitted to do as a public body. And so our responsibility as the library board is to ensure that the library avoids any appearance of using our public meetings for political advocacy purposes. And so for that reason, we cannot, and we will not make a statement.
So I saw in the library director report that they had asked about using our signage to post for...
They asked to use for us to post their
programs.
The meetings that they're having at the schools for this.
No, we can't do that. That's using the resources of the library.
I can certainly take them down.
So therefore, we cannot do that.
Yep, I can see. If they ask for, because I'm trying to remember, they've asked to share information before, and that was just on the facility planning. At that point, it hadn't gone to referendum, and we shared that information on our site.
But as far as right now, this discussion is the referendum, and the topic that was brought up last month was making a statement, and so we will not... And we've already said, and that's all that we were talking about at this time.
We can take those down.
Okay.
What did you do? I mean, don't we put other community things, meetings up and stuff and post?
It's meetings.
Because these are just meetings.
Yeah.
He came and he presented on it.
Right.
Why can't you just...
Not the meetings. We're talking about the referendum. That's the item that we're talking about.
So if they
so that has nothing to do with anything else, just the referendum.
So if they've asked to use our sign to put their dates of when they're having meetings, can we do that?
Meetings about...
Is that the question?
What is the meetings about?
It's
the referendum.
Referendum.
Yeah. The ones at the
but we had a meeting about the referendum last month.
Yeah, we had it here.
Here.
Yes. Yeah, but that was information. That was based on...
It's the same speech.
Yeah. It's just presenting.
So if it's just the meetings, there's not a problem about that because it's not about...
A lot of questions asked just about tax implications.
Yeah.
And that was like the one I attended. Circle Center.
But yeah, it's not going.
It's very transparent.
Yeah, it's only about the what it entails is what it's about. The meeting has nothing to do with.
I don't see why you can't
making a statement, being behind.
Right.
As long as it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, you can't make a statement. That's right. Hey, there's
community information.
Right. Community information.
As long as we're not violating election and ethics laws.
So we can't make a public statement saying, hey, we want the referendum.
We cannot do that. No. That violates the election code and ethics laws. And we are a public body, and we have to abide by the laws. And so that is that.
Okay.
So if there's no further discussion, we don't have to go into executive session. I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
Roll call. All in favor?
Aye.
Leave it adjourned.
All right.